There's an illustration we use with children's groups. You can use it, the illustration, for several different to illustrate several different things. But one is the capacity for love, or God's capacity. So you take a quart jar and you fill it with rocks, fill it all the way to the top, and you ask the question, now, is it full? Can you get more in? And then you pour sand in, and the sand sifts down through the crooks and crannies, and you fill it all the way level across the top, and you say, now, is it full? And the kids say, yes, it's full. And then you pour water in, and it'll hold even more. Well, there's a 26-foot Penske truck sitting at our house that we've loaded until the tailgate rubs the top and the bottom as you bring it down. And I thought it was full, and then we went to the house, and there's still things to put in. So we took things out of boxes, and we poked them in every crook and cranny, and we'll be headed cross country. So we appreciate your prayers. In the third chapter of Exodus, a people who were created to be free have, for whatever reasons, and there are many different reasons, but they have had their freedom stripped from them, and now they're serving under a very oppressive regime in Egypt. They're toiling, and you might say that they were religiously free, but the truth of the matter is, anytime there's bondage, anytime there's oppression, it's not just physical, it's not just economic, but it's also religious oppression. And so in the Exodus chapter 3, we come kind of the end of that tale, and the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. And so God heard the cries of his people. It wasn't just the whips across their back and the burdens on their shoulders. It wasn't just the disrespect. But it was also inherent in that was an oppression. They were not free to worship God in the place they wanted to worship him and in the way they wanted to worship him. And that's indicated in another passage where, although we don't know exactly what the Lord was hearing here in Exodus chapter 3, but another place, they cried out, how can we serve the Lord in a foreign land, in a strange land? So we know that their freedom had been stolen from them. Upon their shoulders was a yoke of slavery, a yoke of oppression, and that yoke became heavier and heavier and heavier, particularly when Moses got involved, when they were first, their workload was doubled, and then the basic necessities to perform their duties was taken from them, and they had to take care of that themselves. But it was a yoke also of religious or spiritual oppression. I want to suggest to you that that is an early description of the lack of freedom. Freedom that has been stolen, or even freedom that has been given up. But the pattern continues over and over and over throughout history, and certainly is inherent in the history of our country. And so people cry out to God. And I want to suggest to you that out of this story, we see a pattern that we've seen throughout history. But today we're celebrating the history of our beloved America. And so I want to suggest to you that in this chapter, first of all, God sees. Or maybe I should say, God hears. And God has heard the cries and the oppression of our forefathers. And I want to remind you that I guess probably what ended up being the impetus for the Revolutionary War was an economic repression. And so we had the Boston Tea Party and some of those things that are opposing taxation without representation, a more and more heavy load of taxation. And the people, our forefathers, kind of considered themselves suffering along with the Israelites in Egypt as the burden got heavier and heavier and heavier. But I want to suggest to you that even prior to that, more fundamental to that, was the religious oppression and the inability to worship God as they saw fit. And so that sparked eventually the revolution that eventually won for us our freedom. So God heard the cries of His people. He saw them in their misery. And I want to suggest to you that God cares. You know, He could have heard the cries of the Israelites in Egypt, but just kind of sat and watched or turned a deaf ear. But God didn't just see and God didn't just hear, but God cared about what was going with them. I have heard the cries of my people, and inherent in that is an understanding that God's heart was touched. He suffered along with them. He really was moved by their suffering, and He showed His care by acting. So God not only saw, God not only cared, but God acted decisively on their behalf. And I don't have time today to go through the whole story, but you're familiar with the story of God sending Moses, meeting him out in the wilderness by a burning bush, sanctifying the ground they were standing on, and commissioning Moses to stuttering, stammering Moses to go and talk to the Pharaoh, the greatest political figure, the most powerful political figure in the whole world. And he began to suggest to Pharaoh, God wants His people free. You know, I just have a burning conviction in my heart that God wants all people free. God's desire for us is freedom. Not just physical freedom, not just financial freedom, but freedom from sin and guilt and the yoke and bondage of sin. God desires for His people to be a free people. And as Moses began to say that, plague after plague after plague, and God, Pharaoh would harden his heart over and over and over again. But I'll tell you, when God decides to act, He acts decisively. And so we saw the people, or we see the people of Israel marching triumphantly out of the city, having experienced blessing upon blessing, having had the death angel pass over everywhere where the blood of the Lamb, every home where the blood of the Lamb was applied, the death angel passed over, and they came out free, and their families were whole and complete. Oh, God not only sees and cares, but God acts, and He acts decisively. And God sends, over the course of history, we could trace it through country after country, nation after nation, people after people, but God sends a representative to lead His people into freedom. Now I want to transition here then from the Old Testament and the story of a people engulfed in a blanket, a heavy, suffocating blanket of oppression and slavery, lack of freedom, and God acting decisively. The whole book of Exodus isn't just a collection of writings. It is the epic event in that part of our history. God bringing His people out and giving them freedom. That freedom was precious to them. That freedom made the burning sands of the desert all worthwhile. Whatever hardships that they might have had to endure was well worth it just to be free. We need to remember, because the people of Israel forgot. They got so far out there, they began to grumble. They began to complain. They even said it was better to be back there in Egypt under that yoke of oppression than it is to be out here in the desert. But freedom is worth the sacrifice. Freedom is worth the price. And so in the book of Galatians, Paul says to the Galatian Christians, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. For freedom you have been set free. You haven't been set free to wade right back in. I consider myself a horseman. One of the most confusing characteristic of a horse is exhibited when the barn catches on fire. You can lead them out, you can harness them, you can drag them out, you can hook a tractor to them and pull them out, but if you let them go, instead of enjoying their freedom, instead of being free, they'll rush right back into a burning barn over and over and over. It's almost impossible to rescue a horse or a group of horses from a burning barn. Freedom, Paul says, you know, that's... He hasn't set you free for you to rush right back in and be engulfed in the yoke of bondage again. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. For freedom, you have been set free. I want to suggest to you this morning that our freedom is won by the sweat and the blood and the sacrifice and the injuries and the wounds of a countless number of folks that have stood strong for our country, had fought and died and provided for us freedom. There seems to be a general misunderstanding or lack of understanding of what freedom's all about our day. But we are the church, and we need to hold out and continue to proclaim the reality that it's not just economic freedom, it's not just moral freedom, but it's religious freedom that drove all those soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen, to pay the price they paid for our freedom. Be free and live free, Paul seems to proclaim. Free from religious oppression, from nationalistic oppression. And I want to suggest to you that those two are twin enemies that always go together. Whenever our freedoms are threatened, it's not just nationalistic. In this particular passage of Scripture, I'm not taking it out of context because Paul is dealing specifically with religious issues. The Gentiles have been coming to Christ by the thousands. They've been experiencing true salvation, the forgiveness of sins, and they have thrown off the yoke of all kind of pagan traditions and addictions and so forth, and they are running the race. They're living free, and then the Jews are stepping in and telling them, no, you're not doing it right. You got to come back. You've got to get under the yoke of this law. You've got to do like we do. You've got to observe certain rituals and rank. So they're trying to take them right back in to a system that has been oppressive and has sucked the very life out of the Jews. But now they're trying to lead the Galatians, or not just the Galatians, all Gentile Christians, right back into that. We need to understand that from their creation and to this day, the Jewish people have a very difficult time separating their religious life from their national life. The two are tied together. They're one and the same. So Paul is warning the Galatians, you weren't saved because you were a card-carrying member of the Jewish nation. You weren't saved because you were making certain sacrifices or going through certain physical alterations, you were not saved so that you could obey a system of laws and interpretation of the laws that filled volume after volume until no person could keep all the law. You were saved to be free in Christ. We are saved to be free in Christ. That is our heritage. But in our day, there are a lot of people. There are a lot of regimes. There are a lot of ideologies that desire to come in and enslave America in a yoke of bondage. When I was a kid, teenager, young adult, it was communism and socialism that was the enemy of the state. And you all familiar, we'll take over America without firing a shot. We'll take over America from the inside out. And then it was secular humanism. It was a spiritual wave that threatened the moral foundations and the spiritual foundations of our nation. Today, it is radical Islam that is claiming we are going to take over. We're going to install Sharia law all over the nation. We're ready to do it. We have the personnel in place. We have the structure in place. And they would come in and rob us of our freedoms and our liberties. But it wouldn't just be secular liberties. They desire to take away our freedom to worship our God in the way that we're called to worship Him. We're under threat. We're under attack. And so we've got to remember, Christians, we've got to remember, the politicians aren't going to do it for us. They're not going to protect us. They're going to be all after their own interests. And they don't really care a whole lot about the religious aspect. We are the church. And we've got to remember that we are created to be a free people. For freedom, we have been called. For freedom, we have been set free. And we've got to resist the twin enemies of secular humanism and radical Islam or any other ideology that threatens our freedoms. We were set free to be free. Someone always wants to take it away. God has created us a free people. We know what freedom is. We've tasted freedom. We can never be satisfied for anything else. There's a song in our hymnal. Jeff, I think I want to change here in a minute. And Nettie, Glorious Freedom. I don't know what number it is, but I just want us to sing it in a moment. But Paul goes on in the book of Galatians. Says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. That's a whole other sermon altogether. Don't use your freedom to heap upon yourself, lavish upon yourself, treasures or moral conquests. Immoral, I should say. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another humbly in love. Wow. We've come full circle. Come from slavery, from bondage. The people of Israel came from slavery and bondage, and God called them out. Do you understand? This is extremely important to understand the whole gospel, the whole Old and New Testament, every line and phrase and word of the whole Bible. It's important that we understand this foundation. God brought His people out of Israel so that they could serve the nation. So that they could be a witness and a testimony. So that they could introduce the nations to the God of love and bring them to Him. And we still today, Christians, we're set free to serve. We're set free to witness. Set free to testify. To serve others in love. The irony of that just kind of struck me as I was preparing this message. From slavery to servanthood. Slavery is oppressive. Slavery is suffocating. Slavery is miserable. But when we have experienced the glorious freedom of God, then to voluntarily, lovingly, of our own accord, respond to a call of God to become servants to others. It is freeing indeed. That is where real freedom comes. That's what Jesus came from. The book of Jeremiah in particular talks about the ministry of Jesus Christ, and he refers to him as the suffering servant. And we follow in his footsteps. So we serve not because we're slaves. We serve not because of forced labor. We serve out of love and gratitude to a God who has made us a free people. And for those that are in bondage, and I'm going to close with this, but there are so many people living right here among us in a free nation that are in absolute bondage. Bondage to addictions, bondage to alcoholism, drug addiction, in bondage to all kind of addictions that manifest themselves in immoral activities and unions, bondage to false gods and false religious systems, on and on and on it goes. We need to be proclaiming the message of glorious freedom. I want you to stand with me.